There's Michael Jackson. Halftime act. Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN.
Jam.
Show gets bigger and better. Monday, Scott Kaplan going to join us. It'll be Sedano, LZ, and Cap. By the way, if you want to vote on our poll, you can at ESPN Los Angeles on Twitter. Who's more stacked, the Lakers or the Dodgers right now after the Dodgers added Trevor Bauer? Lakers, obviously, we know how stacked they are. At the moment, the Dodgers lead 63.3% to 36.7%. And LZ, our poll is brought to us by
Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you're ever injured in an accident, call Sweet James Accident Attorneys. It's available 24/7, so visit sweetjames.com.
So there you have it. So, LZ, we were talking about the Dodgers being stacked because Trevor Bauer is now part of the Dodgers rotation. The rich get richer. Like, who's the fifth starter? Because here's the deal. You got Bauer, right? You got Walker, Buehler. You've got Clayton Kershaw. In theory, David Price is going to be part of this rotation. So who's the fifth starter? Is it Dustin May? Is it Gonsolin? Is it Urias? Is it Josiah Gray? Like, where are you going here? Like, you got so many options. It's insane to me.
It's insane, but it's a beautiful kind of crazy because, to your point, it's not even just simply, you know, who's the fifth option. It's who's the ace. Like, who is the legitimate – if you got to win one game – now, I think we're going to boil it down between two players.
I think it's
Walker
Buehler.
Boil it down between Bauer and Walker Buehler.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's how good they are. That the definitive ace for the last two seasons may actually, you know, be in competition for that role because of this signing. Trevor Bauer is that good. His season was that good. And then you still got Clayton Kershaw, who, oh, by the way, probably put in the best postseason performance of his career last season.
Mm-hmm. But he's getting older.
He is getting older, but so am I, so I'm not going to throw any shade at it.
But you're not going out there trying to throw six innings.
You don't know what I'm doing when I'm not on air.
Okay, at least not publicly, yes.
At least not publicly, exactly. And then on top of that, an argument could be made that while it is true that Kershaw had his best postseason of his career – in the World Series, was there a better pitcher than Julio Urias?
No, but you know, were we together the day that I said they should move Urias to the closer role, and you have a righty lefty situation with him and Kenley? Or were you off that day?
Might have been off that day, but I'm liking where you're going with it.
Yeah, like that's old school. Like you know that's like '80s baseball there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where they had two closers. You know.
Which is not bad, especially given the instability that you know, I hate to say it, but that he's leaning into now. Kenley's just not the rock that he was, certainly not when we first got to L.A., and certainly not the rock he was when he first got to L.A. So it doesn't hurt to have a young guy being groomed in his, you know, wake, I guess. But is it Urias or is it May?
See,
who's also phenomenal.
Greg, who would you go with? Do you like the Urias to the bullpen, like, and kind of make him a pseudo closer?
I do like that. Unfortunately, they've said over and over again, Andrew Friedman said it, Dave Roberts has said it, Julio has said it. He wants to be a starter. They want him to be a starter. He's going to
be a starter. Then he's the fifth starter.
Then
I think that's the end of the story.
Yeah. He might be a fifth starter.
So, but there's more to it, though. Just because they have all these great arms, they're going to stretch them, all these guys out. So they are going to go to a six-man, seven-man rotation. It's going to happen.
I mean, not seven.
Seven. They're going to pitch guys.
Seven.
Seven.
They have averaged over the last 3 years 12 pitchers getting starts a year.
No, I get that. But, I mean, I don't think they're going to, like, a strict seven-man rotation.
No. But nobody.
Why not
there's
seven?
No, but like David Price and Clayton Kershaw are not going to pitch 30 games.
No, definitely not. But that, not. LZ, that's just too much. Like, these people are creatures of habit, man.
It's never enough. Mm. Never enough. What do you mean too much? Mm. Seven? What's wrong with seven?
Yeah, too much.
Who should not start? Should Kershaw not start? Should Julio not start?
No.
Should Dustin May not start?
I think Dustin May goes to the bullpen. Or is the sixth guy, you know what I mean?
I think that would be awful if you made him go to the bullpen when that guy when he starts is bonkers.
Sixth guy then. Sixth guy.
He's bonkers.
Then Gonsolin
when he
is in the bullpen. Somebody's got to go to the bullpen. Like, you
he
can't.
Was supposed to go to Oklahoma City. Dave Roberts like, yo, dog, Clayton's back hurt. Can you start for us?
Well, that's and the thing. Clayton is not like, going to get anywhere near 30 starts. Right?
Like, I think so good.
That's fair. Like, I wouldn't. I mean, he's very fragile at the moment.
They're so good. What does the poll say again about who's more stacked? Who's leading?
It says Dodgers. Yeah, it says Dodgers. Yeah, Dodgers is best.
The people's know. The people's, because we can't figure out who's starting because we have too many starters. I think the people are right.
Okay. Yeah, I still think it's the Lakers, personally.
But we know who's starting. We at least know that much.
Right. Look, Kershaw's not going to start 30 times. But you know who's going to start 16 is his buddy, Matt Stafford, right?
Mm-hmm.
So his buddy, Matt Stafford, is going to be the new starter for your Los Angeles Rams. And Teddy Bruschi of ESPN, NFL Countdown, was on WEEI Radio in Boston. Remember, there was talks about, you know, New England. And right. Stafford was like, nah, dog, I've already done the Matt Patricia experience. I know he's back there. I ain't going there. And Teddy Bruschi felt like it was more than that. And we will have some audio from Teddy here. Let me hear Teddy.
No, Stafford saying he didn't want to go to New England, whatever. I think people know why. The draw in New England.
He's not tough enough to play here.
Yeah.
He's just not tough enough. I mean, I don't think he's tough enough to be coached hard. I mean, do you realize the mental toughness that Tom Brady had to have for 20 years to deal with Bill Belichick? I mean, in that type of coaching? I mean, constant pressure every single day. Does Stafford sort of grab you as a guy that could handle that? I just don't think so. Well, so he went to Sean McVay and get his little best friend relationship and go have fun over there. That's fine.
So here's what I would say, LZ. There's two things at play here. Two things can be true. One, playing in New England has to be tough because it's Belichick's way or the highway, right? Like, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't for everybody, right? Like, that's fine. But I do think, as Glenn Ordway, the host there, was alluding to, I think it's more of a Matt Patricia thing than anything else. But I feel like Teddy crossed the line there and saying he's not tough enough when the man literally was playing through a broken back a couple of years ago. And, you know, whatever he wants to say about the Sean McVay best friend thing, they've known each other for a long time. I mean, when the opportunity came to work in the afternoon, you and I decided to work together because we were familiar with each other because we're friends, right? Like, who doesn't want to work with people they get along with? Like, that usually makes things easier.
I'm going to say something that I would say to Teddy's face. I think you're conflating being with Bill Belichick for 20 years with being tough enough to be with Bill Belichick for 20 years. Maybe you weren't tough enough to leave until now. Like, he's assuming because Tom Brady was there that he was tough enough to handle it. Maybe Tom Brady was there because he wasn't tough enough to make the hard decision to leave, that he didn't believe in himself enough to leave. And this is where I have a problem with his take. It's not so much about slander about Matt Stafford. That, to me, that's a different conversation. My issue with him is correlating sticking around with it representing some level of commitment or toughness or being a man. No, sometimes you stick around because you're too much of a blank to leave.
Right, right.
You're too much of a coward to leave. So I appreciate, you know, Ted doing what he feels he needs to do to protect the brand, blah, 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 whatever. They don't really care about him. He hasn't figured that out yet. But this notion that your toughness is defined by your willingness to stick things out needs to actually be run through a different filter about why didn't you leave if Bill Belichick was such a blank to begin with.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. That's a good way to look at it for sure. But I do think that it is him protecting the brand. And, you know, Dan Le Batard's not with the company anymore, but they used to have a joke that Teddy used to get mad about. They used to call him Baghdad Bruschi. Because they said he'd get on the landmine for Belichick.
And just take it, won't he?
Yeah.
He would just take it.
So, and I like Teddy personally, but that does come across as you are literally copying and caping for the...
Like, it's such a garbage thing. Like, there is literally video of Matt Stafford being knocked the hell out.
Yeah, and playing...
With one arm.
Right.
Going back in games to throw game-winning touchdowns.
Yeah.
So this idea that he's not tough enough is such a ridiculously bad take.
It really feeds
into this hyper-masculinity aspect of the game that really isn't real, because when you go into a locker room, you see all that cocoa butter and Jergens lotion in there. You realize these aren't dudes who are consumed being hyper-masculine. They try to make sure their skin ain't ashy.
Yeah.
Man, stop.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, coming up next, PJ Carlissimo called the Lakers game last night for ESPN Radio, our pal. We're going to talk to him about the Lakers. We'll talk to him about some the best Italian restaurants in town, because this man travels everywhere and he knows every Italian place to hit. So we'll do a little restaurant talk with PJ, and of course, wine. He knows him some wine, too. So we're going to have some fun with PJ. By the way, nobody won the money today. At 4:30 Monday, we're going to give away $720. It's now rolled over for a third time. If you want to register for that, hit us up. Text the word mission, all right? Text the word mission to 40705. Mission. Text that to 40705, and you can register to win that money on Monday. PJ Carlissimo joins us in 3 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. We're going to wait to chat with PJ Carlissimo here in just a second. Laura, it's going straight to voicemail, you said? All right, I will try to figure this out here. I'm going to have him. Greg, text me the number to have him call.
I cannot wait for the halftime show. I really hope The Weeknd does the hills. I want him to be freaky and nasty and grown folk as much as possible.
Right. I love him. I just love his sound. Like, everything is great about him.
Have you ever seen him in concert?
I have not. I was going to go, and then the pandemic happened.
Oh, he's really good,
2022? His concert?
He's really
good. Yeah, he's coming back in 2022 because he couldn't finish his tour.
No, I hope I'm here in 2022.
Because he was going to do Staples and the Forum.
Oh, really? He was going to do like a Prince thing, just stay here and just work
it
out?
Yeah, Elton John did the same thing. He did Staples and the Forum.
Yeah, he's
if you're a big
good
enough artist, you should be able to do both.
Yeah. He's that good. He truly is. I just want him to do his freaky-ish.
Right.
I want him to make folks Janet Jackson uncomfortable.
Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah, I don't know if the NFL's going to love that. But anyway.
They gave us the Who, man. They owe us something.
By the way, the Dodgers could be getting in on Ozuna. Is that a done deal, Greg?
Still?
Or no?
They're still
no, he's done. Ozuna, it just went back to the Braves for about $80 million.
Okay, because I had seen a report on Sports Illustrated that that they were talking about Ozuna maybe to the Dodgers too. So,
4 year, $65 million deal. It just broke, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Laura, is PJ called in? Oh, okay, great. PJ Carlissimo, of course, coaching great. Coach to a Final Four, longtime NBA coach and NBA assistant. We love him on ESPN and ESPN Radio. Of course, called the game last night between the Lakers and the Nuggets. Peach, we got a lot of stuff we want to talk to you about. We want to talk basketball. Then we want to talk Italian restaurants in Southern California. And then we want to punctuate it with some wine selections for the weekend. Okay,
yes,
you ready
sir.
For all that?
I'm ready.
All right.
I'm ready.
I love it. Let's start with the Lakers. I found myself last night watching that game, Peach, and I said to myself, like, oh, you know, Denver's coming out strong. And then all of a sudden, it felt like in a blink of an eye, the Lakers not only took control of the game, but then just, like, went away, took, like, just, you know, it won it in a laugher by 21 points. Like, how did you kind of see all of that unfold in real time? Like, what was happening there that kind of caught your attention?
Exactly the way you saw it. First of all, I was looking forward to the game. Obviously watching both of them. We had Lakers-Boston. Kessie and I think, had Lakers-Boston on Saturday. And so I had seen about 5 Laker games in a row, either live or watching the tapes. And then Denver playing so well, I'm saying, wow, this is really going to be a good game. And I'm actually, like, at halftime going, good. You know, Denver's really stepped up. I actually thought they were in good shape at halftime. You know, I thought the Lakers looked like first game back after a long trip, and I said, you know, Denver's going to get this one. I don't know what Frank told him at halftime, but like about a minute in, I said to Sean, and I could see him, it's, you know, Sean's in New Orleans and I'm sitting in Seattle. I said, I don't like the way they're playing. The Lakers are just taking it to them and they're not giving them any resistance at all. And Mike Malone called a quick timeout. There was like two baskets in a row. They just drove in and shot layups. It was a loose ball. I think Alex Caruso got it, as he usually does. And I said, boy, this doesn't look good. And they dominated him after. I thought they bogarted him in the second half. Now, again, they hung in for a while. It really didn't break open until the fourth. But I was really disappointed because I wanted a good game. And when it's over, I'm saying, boy, this does not look good. Jokic in particular, George, really surprised me. Again, he's played so great to this point. But, I, you know, we did all the games in the bubble, and he didn't play nearly as well against the Lakers as he did against everybody else. The first two rounds, he was incredible. And they just they took the three away from him. I thought they were physical with him. And it looked the same last night. Now, that's not fair to him. You know, next time they play, maybe he gets 40 and Denver wins. But I would be really concerned if I'm a Denver fan watching that second half last night.
Coach, you know, I don't want to spend the entire time doing a soliloquy on how great LeBron James is, but he passed Wilt Chamberlain on the all-time field goals made list. And when you think about Wilt and the competition he faced and his physical stature, I'm not asking you to say GOAT, but I'm having a hard time finding any other player in the history of this game who is as good at scoring as LeBron James is.
I can't disagree with you. I think he's been unbelievable. And the thing that I didn't appreciate until we were getting ready for the Boston game the other day, like, how's this? I'm sure you guys are on it all the time. You know, we jump around, see different people. He's the last 2 years, you could almost go three, but certainly the last two, he's played fewer minutes than he's played in his career. He's taken more threes by a significant amount than he's ever taken in his career. He's taken less free throws than he's ever done in these 2 years. And he's shooting 41%, the best percentage he's ever shot from the three-point line. He's almost like reinvented himself. And last year, I thought he just singularly will that team. I'm not taking anything away from anybody else on the team, but LeBron caused them to win last year. And then you watch him again last night and he comes out. And, you know, I think a lot of us, or at least a lot of people, snickered when the NBA finally made a decision and it was a real short off season. And they said, well, of course they want the money. They have to have the games on Christmas Day. LeBron will play 15 minutes and then we won't see him again till the end of January. He hasn't missed a game yet. And I think with two new starters and a whole bunch of new faces, they're defending almost as well as they were last year at this time. And to me, it all starts with him. Couldn't agree with you more. I love the fact that it was Wilt. When we were talking about Nikola Jokic having 20 games to start, 20 straight double-doubles to start the year, I said, hey, guys, let's put it in perspective. And I've got the number wrong, but I'm close. I said, you know, Bill Walton did it X amount of years ago, 76, 77. The number was 34. Wilt did it 227 times. 227 straight times he got double-doubles. I'm off a little bit, but it was in the, you know, low 200s. And LeBron just went past him. There's no more superlatives. There's nothing else you can say. It's just, I would pay money any night to watch him play. I just enjoy it so much. And I hope the people in LA get back in that building soon, because it's incredible what he's doing, period, much less at his age.
PJ Carlissimo, the great PJ Carlissimo, with us here from ESPN. PJ, who is the biggest competition for them, East or West? Like, who is the one team, if there is any, that you think would give them the best series?
Well, I'll make you happy. I haven't seen the Clippers enough. I would think on paper it's the Clippers in the West. I do think Denver is legit. I don't think they can beat them. You know, the best thing about the NBA, or one of the best things about the NBA, and, you know, I love both, George. I loved college for 23 years. But best out of seven, like, if you got to beat somebody best out of seven, you got to be better than them. I don't see anybody better than them. I think Denver will, if it is Denver at some point in the playoffs, I think it'll be a lot better series than five games like it was in the bubble. I think it was closer than five games, but I think it'll be better. I really think they're legit. I think the Clippers on paper appear to be the best. I haven't seen them yet. I don't know that there's anybody else in the West. I'm still not sold on Brooklyn. Obviously, offensively, they're off the charts. They've got to do a number of things better, I think, but, you know, before you can say they're going to beat them. In my mind, the Lakers are the clear favorite. First of all, they're the defending champs. They're the best combination of offense and defense. I haven't seen all the teams in the East yet. I think the East has dramatically improved. But right now, you said, I'd have no problem saying the Lakers are the best team and they're the team to beat. I'm really anxious to see the Clippers in person and do some of their games. I you know, how good do you think they are?
Look, I think the Clippers are good. I think they match up well at times against the Lakers. We've seen those games be very close. But, you know, I don't think anybody can beat them, to your point. And LZ and I have talked about this a lot. Where LZ and I differ is I think Brooklyn, we saw them against the Clippers the other night, actually defend. And if they do that, I think they're the best team in the East. LZ seems to think Milwaukee is the best team in the East. Right, LZ?
Yeah, I've had to, like, lay down money on who's coming out. I'm going to go with Milwaukee because they actually know what defense is. And when I look at that Brooklyn squad, as much as I love the names attached and the offense that comes with it, if you're scoring 30 but you're giving up, you know, 25 to 30 yourself, that's really like a net loss to me.
I'm with you. They have the potential, honestly. I know that's a cop-out, but they haven't been together long enough. I don't even know how many games Harden's played. Kyrie was gone for a big chunk of time. So to give them their due, I want to watch them. I want to see them go to the next level. They don't have to be Laker good on defense. They have to be significantly better than they are. I agree with you. They were impressive the other night. But with that kind of talent, and Joe Harris deserves to be in that conversation too, by the way. But they have to do it for a while. You know what I mean? They can't just, you know, gear it up. It's a home game. It's really special. And they have to do it for a while. They got to sustain it. And they've got to be able to establish that they can get stops again, four out of seven times. Milwaukee's been the best team in the East the last 2 years, and they didn't get it done. You know, Toronto and Miami just were able to beat them. I do think they've learned. I do think they'll be a better playoff team. I do think their roster's a little bit better. So, again, I'm not as comfortable saying they're going to come out of the East. But I'm reserving judgment on Brooklyn. I know that's a cop-out, but I'm reserving judgment for a while on Brooklyn.
All right, Peach, last ones here. We'll do this rapid-fire style, okay? So quick answers, because we only got about a minute here. Give me your top three Italian restaurants in L.A., in the Southern California area.
Well, at Giorgio Baldi, I like Drago Centro downtown. I like Eduardo, Giorgio's son. I think his place is very good. And I'm drawing a blank on another place that I love, and I can't think of the name.
Well, you gave me three already, so that's good.
You give me another one, though.
Calories.
Okay.
There's a little place downtown, PJ, called Calories. They're only open 5 days a week, and it is the best I've ever had.
Oh, that's not going to work for PJ, though, LZ. It's got to be open 7. It's got to be open till like 2 in the morning because you got a game.
I'm just telling you my own experience.
No, because I'm writing it down.
Because PJ, C-O-L-O-R-I,
All right, Kalori.
I got love it. I appreciate
this
it.
Place.
Okay.
Now, you know, Pop is good. Pop likes to try different places. I like to go to the same place.
But listen, you've never steered me wrong. All right, one quick question. Where does Volters rank on the Italian restaurant chart? Because John Ireland and LZ and I were talking about it earlier. Where does it rank? Like top 5, top 10, top 20?
Top 5. It's as good as any restaurant in the country. It would be a good restaurant in Los Angeles or Chicago or San Francisco or New York.
I have to disagree with you, my friend. I got to disagree with you.
It's unbelievable.
I lived in New York. I lived in Utah. I was in Provo. We went there often, and I was like, it's good, but I think it's good for Utah. I don't know if it's good for the globe.
Yeah.
I'm disagreeing with you.
Yeah. LZ, finally, a disagreement from PJ. There we go.
Respectfully.
Respectfully. Respectfully
always,
is the key word. It's the key word.
Of course. Now, last one, before we let you go, give us the wine selection tonight. What's on the wine selection tonight?
Peter Francis Zinfandel, a little-known Zin from California. The guy's name is Peter Francis. He did something else, I don't know what, till he was in his late 30s or 40s, decided to make wine. He makes an unbelievable Zin. Brandlin, B-R-A-N-D-L-I-N, Brandlin Vineyard, Zinfandel, Mount Veeder. Unbelievable. You got to like a big red, but it's fantastic.
PJ, you're the best, brother. Thank you so much for always taking time for us. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, sir.
Back at you. See you, Al. See you, George.
All right, take care. There he is. All right, let's talk about what PJ had to say on the other side. Plus, big, big moment in Super Bowl history. We'll tell you what that's about in 3 minutes. So, Donna and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN on a Friday. Hope you're having a great day. By the way, we didn't get a winner today with our cash giveaway. Make sure you are listening at 4:30 on Monday. Your chance to win $720 in cash, cold, hard cash. All you got to do right now is to register. Text the word MISSION, M-I-S-S-I-O-N, to this number, 40705. Text the word MISSION to 40705, and you can win $720. And if somebody don't win then, is rolling over, that means we're going to, hold on, I got to do math. That's $900.
Yeah. A lot of math.
$900 if somebody doesn't win on Monday.
Show me the money.
I mean, who needs the Super Lotto? Right? Got Sedano and LZ and Cap beginning on Monday. Thanks to PJ Carlissimo for joining us there. We love him. He is a treasure. You know, LZ, we've talked about this before. Like, there are certain guys, right? Like, and ladies, when they are on the broadcast, that you learn the game, right? QB's one of those people, right? PJ's one of those people. I believe Doris is one of those people. Like, those people are on a broadcast, and you're like, they are teaching you basketball while they are calling a game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's like the my first person in that category is definitely I just drew a blank on his name. Which is
basketball?
Hilarious. Basketball.
Hubie?
Hubie Brown.
Right.
When Hubie calls a game, I become a better pickup basketball player afterwards.
Right.
Every single time.
It's crazy.
And which is, for me to admit, is a lot, George, because the NBA and basketball in general is just a space where I just feel like, boom, I got it. I know it. I'm comfortable. There's very little you can tell me that I don't already know. And then I tune in, and I hear Hubie call one quarter, and I go, "Damn, that's some good information right there,
dude." And he's 87 years old, 87, and still calling games at a really high level.
But not just calling games; he's
teaching
calling
the game.
Games with information.
Yeah, teaching the game
that, regardless of the generation that's listening,
correct,
can use.
Yes, 100%.
That's what makes him so valuable.
Right. Right. He's incredible. He is. He's a legend. So, yeah, him, PJ, Doris, when those people are on, you got to listen. You got to listen.
You got to listen.
You got to listen because they're teaching you stuff. Hopefully we're teaching you stuff other than shenanigans occasionally. So let me ask you this question. We got Brady. We got Mahomes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the best Super Bowl duel we've ever had at quarterback?
Wow. The best Super Bowl duel. Well, certainly I would have preferred Brady to be in his prime. Mm-hmm. That's first. But I'm trying to think about Super. I'm typing in right now as we talk. Super Bowl quarterbacks matchups. Because I don't want to mess up, you know, any of the options. Because I think Aikman versus Kelly were probably pretty good.
Yeah,
right?
Right. I mean, Jim Kelly at the time was one of the most prolific passers in the entire sport.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, do you go like Drew Brees and Peyton Manning? Like, that was pretty good.
That was definitely better than this one.
Yeah.
You know, that was definitely better than this one based
upon... Dan Marino and Joe Montana on paper in 1985 off an MVP and Joe Montana being a champion already was a great matchup.
John Elway versus Brett Favre.
Right? John Elway, Brett Favre is a really good one too.
So I'm leaning towards no.
Right.
Only because, not because of Brady, obviously, but because Patrick... As great as he's been,
so
it's
young.
Been such a short window.
Yeah, so young.
It's still a very, very, very small window.
Yeah.
So you're like, to be in this space, you need to have defined yourself so amazingly well for like the better part of like nearly a decade.
Right.
For me to consider you to be among the greatest. Like I'm looking right now, 2002, Tom Brady versus Kurt Warner. And it's like, that's very close to Patrick Mahomes versus Tom Brady.
Right, because we didn't know anything about Warner very much then.
Exactly.
And we didn't know much about Brady either, if to that matter.
Exactly.
You know what we're forgetting? Now, this game sucked because it was a rout. But we had John Elway versus Joe Montana, remember?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That was which, Jerry Rice Super Bowl. I believe he won the MVP.
So I'm not willing to say that this is the greatest matchup. But I will say that if Patrick Mahomes goes on to be what we think he will become, we'll remember this matchup.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's going to be a really good game. I mean, we'll give our picks and stuff at the end of the show in the last segment. But and we're going to do some prop bet stuff that'll be fun. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a really fun game. And it's just like both guys came in a different way, right? But similar, right? Unlikely superstars in the sense of like, you know, Patrick Mahomes came from Texas Tech, you know, not necessarily a football factory, you know, but dad played professional sports. And, you know, I love that, right? Whether it's Steph Curry,
right.
Klay Thompson, right. Those, even Donovan Mitchell, his dad didn't play professional sports, but he worked in a front office, right? Like, I think those guys know how to approach the game a certain way, dealing with the media, dealing with anything that comes through the sports scope, right? Like, and just whatever the challenges that you may have to face, because they've seen their dads go through it to some extent.
Absolutely. And it's an important part of the overall narrative. You know, we sometimes get so consumed, especially now with statistics, that we lose sense of the narrative and the context in which those statistics were accomplished, right? I try to do that, you know, multiple times, remind people 2 weeks ago when the great Hank Aaron passed. It's like, you guys are so fixated on him and the home run hitting, you're missing out the most important aspect, which is the context in which he was hitting those home runs. And so when we talk about NFL quarterbacks, you know, it's important to talk about the context that got them there. So you're absolutely right. Their stories, their backstories are just important, just as
right.
important as the numbers,
yeah.
as well as how they perform in the game, because the backstories made them the players that they are.
Yeah, no question about it. Super Week on ESPN LA is presented by Coors Light. Experience the first big game ad that only runs in your dreams. Check it out at CoorsBigGameDream.com. Coming up next, Trevor Bauer is a Dodger. The rich get richer. Oh, boy. Let's get into that. What You Need to Know is coming up as well. We're back in 3 minutes. What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe, good times. What do you got, Greg?
All right, so Mark Cuban had some things to say about our very own Zach Lowe. Laura, do you have the audio?
I'll tell you exactly what I think, Zach Lowe. You don't know, you know? It's just, I know Luca, right? And it's just, he's not a big whiner. He's passionate. You know, he cares. He wants to win. He's got some to him where, yeah, he's one of those European players where you go see him doing like this all the time and talking in one of five different languages. But no, he's not a whiner. He's a baller.
The reason that he took that position, and that was on Jamel and Carrie's Jamel Hill and Carrie Champions. Sorry, I was so casual with that. Jamel Hill and Carrie Champions TV show on Vice, Stick to Sports. And he was talking about, Jamel asked him a question about how Zach had said that Luka is starting to come across a little bit as a whiner. Now, LZ, I like that Mark took up for him. It's why when we asked the question yesterday about an owner you'd like to play for, I picked Mark. But a lot of those things he mentioned kind of sound like whining, don't they?
Of course it does. And that's why I was just like, first of all, you came at Zach and suggest that he didn't know what, you know, he didn't know what he's talking about. Zach is not a flamethrower.
Correct. He's not at all, actually.
So, but you know who is? Mark Cuban.
Yeah, he is.
So, as soon as I heard the remarks and as soon as I saw it starting to trend, I was like going, so pot calling the kettle black? Is that what's happening here? Because Zach is so chill and so measured.
Yes.
That
he's like the least hot takey person we have, I think.
The least hot takey person.
Yeah.
And so I'm like going, and then Mark is one of the most hot takey personalities in sports.
Correct.
So this notion that you're somehow now going to be the gatekeeper of what's hyperbole or not is ridiculous to begin with. I like the fact he defended his dude, but I just kind of snickered and laughing and took it seriously at the notion that Zach doesn't know what he's talking about based upon your rationale about what's a hot take or not.
Yeah. Greg, what do we have next? We have the Houston Texans executive taking shots at people here in California?
Yeah, so back in 2017, the Texans – Jack Easterby of the Texans was talking to a youth group in Texas and was saying that California people and fans in California are only concerned with catching waves and fans in Texas have big belt buckles. So what do you have to say about that?
First of all, I feel like there's this notion, and now I have lived in two beach cities in my life, okay? Clearly, I grew up in Miami, and I've lived here, and I love it, okay? It's why I live here, because I love being near the water, okay? So, you know what? Catching waves isn't a bad thing. But number two, don't get it twisted. Like, people here aren't, like, passionate about their sports just because you live in Texas and you wear a belt buckle. Like, I hate that stuff. Like, I would fight this Jack Easterby, and you're the reason, okay? Literally part of the reason that Deshaun Watson wants to leave, and now I get it even further.
Yeah, it's trash.
Bro, have you not met Dodger fans?
I know, bro.
And I'm not trying to be flip about it or whatever, but it's like, it's trash. It is completely trash to use your jealousy of having a, you know, state that's near a body of water that's worth it to trash players.
Right.
Like, stop it. I don't know you. I don't really necessarily need to know you. But this idea that, you know, sports fans who are in a region of the country that has a better geography or topography and that somehow registers as their fandom is stupid.
It's so stupid. I mean, stupid. But it's not just Texas people. Northeastern people do it, too. They're like, oh, you come from these towns. What do you know? You're not a real sports fan. I hate that stuff. Like, it makes
silly.
My God-forsaken
blood. You're from Miami. You don't know sports. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, why don't I know sports? Oh, because you're on the beach all the time. It's like going, just stop.
Right. It's not my fault I'm not shoveling snow like you.
Right. Like, you know what it is? It's an extension of this real America, you know, ideal. That, you know, you're not real America.
Right.
And it's just sort of like, you know, America's pretty diverse.
Correct. Yeah. So that's what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe. Good times. What else you need to know, LZ, is that Trevor Bauer is a Dodger. He left Middle America to come to L.A., okay? Take that, Jack Easterby of the Houston Texans.
Exactly. And he came to the Dodgers for multiple reasons. One, this is his crib. This is where he's from. This is where he's comfortable with.
Yeah.
Two, where winners, and I don't mean just the Super Bowl, the World Series, but I mean just in general. Like, since the new regime has taken over the franchise, winning has been a hallmark.
Right.
And then three, You're just jelly.
You're super jelly.
Super jelly.
Yeah.
Super jelly. So we got Trevor, and we have a lot of resources to pull from, and that's all fantastic. And the people who are jelly, I understand why you're jelly. I'm from Detroit. I spent a lot of my life being jelly by this dynamic. But when you grow up and you start to move around a little bit and maybe get a passport out and see what the rest of the world looks like, you realize that, oh, there's nothing to be upset about. This is just human nature.
Right. Yeah, it is. People want to be where they want to be. And why wouldn't you want to be where they want to be? Yeah. And why people, we shouldn't begrudge people for that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it goes back.
It's the only place where that happens, George.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, people burned LeBron's jerseys. You know what I'm saying? Like when he left Cleveland.
Right.
Think about, can you, like, it's crazy because I know that there was part of that Cleveland 30 for 30 they did, but they will eventually do the 30 for 30 about when he actually just left, like just that part. You know what I mean? Like, that is a 30 for 30 in itself, I think.
It is. Yep.
And that whole day, like, was crazy. And then the aftermath was wild from the, you know, to your point, right? They burned his jerseys. The owner wrote this borderline racist rant in Comic Sans.
No. Wasn't borderline. It was across the line.
Yeah. It was terrible.
It was so terrible.
I would have never gone back to play for him, but that's, you know, he's a better man than I am, you know?
He is, because I wouldn't have gone back either.
Right.
But to your point, though, George, it's like, listen, sports is the only industry where we think the people who play for one or, quote, who are employees of one organization should stay there for the duration of their career.
Correct. Yeah, it's really weird. Nowhere else do we think that. Yeah.
And it's because we feel two things. One, when we draft you, you owe us/we own you. And then two, the racial aspect of it, you should be grateful you're making the money that you're making to do what
you're
doing.
Well, like Brett Favre the other day, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, and it's sort of like, no one says that to Jeff Bezos.
Right.
No one said to Jeff, hey, why do you should just be happy with what you have. No, right. Jeff expanded. He was a book company.
Yeah.
He delivered books, and then Jeff decided he wanted to do more, and the world said, it's fantastic, we're here for it. But if LeBron James says, I want to see more, I want to live elsewhere, I want to do more, it's like, oh, you're a coward, you're blah, blah, blah. Only in sports do we do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
and
it is.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it is ridiculous. Like, it is silly. But nonetheless, Trevor Bauer is a Dodger, and people can get mad about it. But the Dodgers have become the new Yankees. You know how, like, everyone used to always be like, oh, the Yankees always get everybody. The Dodgers are that now. Yeah.
No, how dare you compare us to the Stankies?
They are. They're the it team, though, is what I mean by that.
No, you know what it is, man.
Everybody wants to play for them. That's a good thing.
He's from here.
I know, but everybody wants to come here. Mookie Betts wasn't from here.
Yeah, he was kind of from here.
No.
He liked Tupac songs. He likes N.W.A.
Yeah.
He's from here.
Yeah. I mean,
isn't he?
But he's no, he's not.
No.
No. But my point is, people want to be here. And it's a good thing. Like, that is a good thing. And I know that you don't want to be compared to the Yankees, but you're better than the Yankees now. Like, that in itself is an achievement, right? Because they're in baseball, because they've won the most, right? Like, they are the quote-unquote industry standard. Not anymore. The Dodgers are the industry standard at the moment.
Yes, because we're a well-run organization that's in a desirable area of the country, but more importantly, we're competent. We're competent.
Andrew Friedman is really good at his job.
He's really good. Dave Roberts is really good. This talent that they find is really good. Mm-hmm. We should not be ashamed or be shamed
right.
for being part of or fans of a well-run organization. That is such a trash thing to perspective.
Yeah. So who's hitting the bullpen?
I don't know, dog. I don't know, George, because who are you going to talk to hit the bullpen?
You cannot have a young, vibrant, badass Latino Mexicano pitcher on this team and not let him start, okay? This dude needs to be on this rotation. I don't care what anybody says. Laura, Laura, tell me.
You tell him. That's what you got to do. I mean, you already told him.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. I thought that, you know, I was disappointed. Honestly, I was disappointed in the way that the World Series was celebrated because I felt as if Julio was being not as admired as he should have been.
Right.
For what
I mean,
he
hell, you and I did
do.
Like a whole like half hour about that.
Yeah,
day
yeah,
after.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm all for that. But I also think Dustin May very well have the nastiest stuff out of all of them, and he's having a hard time getting a foothold.
And he does have the best hair.
And he has the best hair, and you know how I feel about hair.
Yeah.
And he's our only ginger other side of JT. We got to have representation matters. There are gingers
it does
in this
matter.
City. They need to see themselves represented.
There is no such thing as two redheads on one team in baseball at the moment, I believe. I think we here in L.A., we have the market capped there.
There's no more?
Yeah.
Are there any other? No?
No, I'm saying two on one team is what I'm saying.
On one team?
You know.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Because, you know, we are losing redheads. It is actually like a thing. You know that, right?
Wait, what do you mean we're losing redheads?
Oh, man. You know what? We got to take a break here in a second, but I know we got to talk.
Like in the general population?
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah, yeah. That's happening.
Oh, man. I need to hit the clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to say goodbye.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there were stories that are we facing redhead extinction?
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
is it
yeah.
Because of global warming?
I mean, I don't believe it's because of climate change. But, yeah, there is a – I can find
I'm,
it for
I'm looking
you
this up.
You.
Ginger extension. Let's see
no,
what
not ginger extension.
Not extensions.
Not extensions.
Not extensions.
Yes.
Yeah. Not extensions?
No.
Yes. Are we facing
ginger,
redhead extinction or not?
Oh,
in today's world.
Oh, all right. Hold on.
While less than 2% of the world's population has red hair, these ginger folks aren't disappearing anytime soon. A few years ago, the media reported that climate change, you were right, was going to wipe out all the redheads. The internet has also spread proof that redheaded people aren't long for this world. Proof in quotes. It's true that being a ginger is rare. About only 4 to 5% of the world's population carries red hair, more common in Northern Europe and the United Kingdom. Apparently, that is false. So I fell to a trap of news that was inaccurate.
Fake news. Who's the hottest ginger right now?
Oh, Amy Adams?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. She's top. She's near the mountaintop. That's for sure.
And this mountain. I just looked it up, and they're all women.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is there not a single good-looking ginger man that can – they got
what's,
Prince
what's
Harry.
What's homeboy
that,
that's the singer that sings the ballads? What's his name? That was in Game of Thrones.
Oh, Ed Sheeran?
Yeah, Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, dog,
I mean, come on.
That. Come on, dog. I ain't messing with that.
I'm
come
just
on,
saying,
man.
Though. That's
come
my
on,
point.
Man.
There's not a lot of
that's
redheads in entertainment.
That's offensive. You even bring him up in this conversation.
Okay, here. Most attractive redheads ever. Ranker.com. Amy Adams is number one. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she's pretty good. Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore's a good one. They have Emma Stone on here.
Emma Stone's pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you like Prince Harry, LZ?
Well, I brought him up. One, he's already married to his sister, so we know he likes a chocolate swirl. But then, two, isn't he losing his hair? I think he's losing his hair, so he won't be.
He is losing
soon.
His hair.
Yeah,
yeah,
he won't be.
Kate Mara is redhead.
Anything.
Kate Mara's redhead.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't look redhead in any movies I've ever seen.
She dyes her hair, but she's really a redhead. Yes.
Huh,
she was the one with. I know there's multiple Maras. Kate Mara is not. Rooney Mara is the one in the Dragon Tattoo movie, right?
I think so.
Yeah. It wasn't Kate Mara who did that.
Wow.
So. Sophie not Turner from Game of Thrones?
Julia Roberts, duh.
Yeah, of course.
Julia Roberts is stunning.
Now, apparently Nicole Kidman, originally a redhead.
Yeah.
Did you know she was born in Honolulu?
Was she really?
Yeah, I had no idea that was the case. I thought she was Australian. Hmm.
Well, she is Australian, but I didn't know she was born in Honolulu.
Yeah, but I mean, she's really American. Bryce Dallas Howard? Ron Howard's daughter?
Yeah. I mean, sure.
What do you think of Michael Fassbender?
I didn't like Jurassic Park 2.
Is Michael Fassbender a redhead?
Is he really?
He's on this list. 67 of the most legendary redheads.
Oh, yeah. He's a handsome dude.
Game
over. Yeah. Speaking of handsome dudes, you know his birthday's today?
Who?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Is it really? Is he a ginger too?
He's not a ginger though. No, he's not. It's just his birthday. But that's a good looking dude, man. I'm telling you. I see him and I'm like, damn, I'm ugly.
You ever, does he have a power to snatch you over?
Not that far, but
he's not good looking enough.
But he makes me feel ugly, which I don't feel like I'm pretty per se, but I don't feel like I'm ugly, and he makes me feel ugly. So there's that.
Yeah, he's a good looking dude.
All right, DeMarco Farr. We'll ask
another
him.
Another good looking dude.
He is a good looking dude. DeMarco Farr joins us now. We will talk to him about this Matt Stafford stuff. If you didn't hear Teddy Bruschi blasting Matt Stafford, we're going to have that audio. We're going to play that for DeMarco. I want to hear what DeMarco thinks.
Oh, bam. Starfish and coffee real quick. The girl from Queen's Gambit is the best redhead right now. You ain't lying, dog. You ain't lying.